This is Film Center, your number one show for real entertainment industry news. No fluff, all facts. Now, here are your anchors, Derek Johnson II and Nicholas Killian.
Hey, and welcome to Film Center. I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And what are we doing today, Nicholas?
Today, we're going to be interviewing some of the cast for our new show. And today we are interviewing, can you please introduce yourself?
Hello, my name's Adley Torres.
Oh, it's Adley. Oh, hey Adley, how you doing?
Doing good, how are you guys?
Doing pretty good.
Doing pretty well. And would you mind telling everybody who you're going to be playing?
No, she can't do that yet.
Oh, she can't?
No, because of the NDAs.
So oh, gotcha.
Nicholas,
yes,
that's why right. I'm here. You can't say that. However, not yet anyway.
He's a mystery.
Not yet. But Adley and I, so you guys know, Adley and I have actually known each other for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, film school. God, how long ago was that?
I was just calculating in my head.
This is what, like 5 years ago? It was 2019, 2018, 2019. So it was like six years ago.
Ew.
Yeah.
So long.
So long ago.
So long.
So long ago. That was back when Adley got here. I remember when I first met her.
Where are you from, Adley?
Oh, from Puerto Rico.
Well, I said here. I meant Los Angeles.
Oh.
Yes.
I was not born
in California, but I moved to California.
From Spain?
Wow. Yeah, she's been places.
So
I've
you're
been places. She has a nice.
You're like legitimately Spanish.
When did you move from Puerto Rico to Spain? Did you come to America first or went straight to Spain?
No, I came here first.
Here first.
I don't know the exact year. All I know is like through grades.
Mm-hmm.
So for like.
Then break it down in some grade form.
Break it down. When I was four, I moved to Orlando.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then second semester of second grade, I moved back to Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stayed there
until. What was the reason for moving from Orlando to Puerto Rico?
Just finding jobs, like, for my parents, like, trying to find, like, a better life, because Puerto Rico, the economy is not that great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
what
it's
do
like,
your, what do your parents do?
Right now, my dad is just a caregiver to my grandma.
Okay.
My mom.
Not just, he is a kid. We celebrate people taking care
that's
of
right.
the family
right.
around
that's
here.
That's right.
That's awesome.
He
that's
sold
great.
His motorcycle so I could come here and study film.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He loves his bikes.
That's serious. My uncle loves motorcycles, so does my dad. And they would be like, oh, no, you can ride my motorcycle for Uber or something. You're not. They would never do it.
Oh,
yeah, that's awesome.
DJ's
that's a great
parents
dad.
Love him very much.
Oh, we love that.
I was being sarcastic.
And then what did your mom do?
My mom doesn't have a job. She right now is raising my little sister, who I believe is turning 4.
You don't know.
I don't know how old your sister is? I don't even know how old my older sister is. She might be 31, maybe turning 32.
There's a little bit of age gaps here.
There's, yeah.
Yeah, because you're in your 20s and she's
I'm 21.
Hey,
I'm not.
You're 21?
I'm not, thank you.
No.
You could have fooled me.
I'm a 26, 21-year-old.
So when you're 6 with the spirit of a 21.
That's right.
So when you were in Spain, where were you living there?
I was living in Mostoles, which is 40 minutes away from the city, Madrid.
Oh, I've been to Madrid.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I heard the nightlife in Spain is crazy. It's just an all-night thing. Or is that in a specific place?
I've never been to Barcelona.
Okay.
So the good thing about Spain is like your legal drinking age is 18 and like clubbing or not 18, right? Mm. So I was able to experience that as my first time going out. When it's like 1 a.m., you have to decide, okay, do I go home now or do I bite the bullet and get home at 6 a.m.? Because the train station's closes at like 2 a.m., so you're stuck.
Oh, really?
But
really?
The club don't close at 2 like here. They close
so they
at 5, 6.
Night, right?
Mm-hmm.
So either you're going to, it's like a huge commitment. Either you're all the way or nothing.
Exactly.
Either you quit right now or you're just along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So you have to decide at 1, hey, am I going to do this all night or am I going to quit?
And this is also assuming that you are in the right mental state to even remember to make this decision at 1.
Luckily, I've been very, not sheltered, but sheltered.
Yeah.
In a way. I didn't
protected.
Experience, exactly. Yeah. I didn't get to experience blackouts until I'm here in California.
Right.
You waited till you came here.
Till I,
to
yeah.
then just go nuts.
I waited till I turned 21 and then I moved here.
Because she, the legal drinking age of America on the show, no one here has ever broke the law ever.
Never.
Correct.
Ever.
We followed
no
the law.
No gray areas either. All mm-hmm. angels.
Mm-hmm.
That's the city to be in, city of angels.
So tell us a little bit more about your, the audience, a little bit more about your background. So a lot of people listen to the show, they're either in the industry or they're trying to get into the industry. And you have a kind of a unique case where you're, you weren't actually born here, mm-hmm. right? And then you're moving around a bunch and now you're here in LA. Did something happen when you were like younger that really motivated you to say, oh, you know what? I think I want to do this.
What precipitated you to want to be in the entertainment industry? What was, what's the
what is
story?
What's the precipitation? What's the rain? What is raining now? Give us the rain for me.
What was the inspiration?
Is it 30% cloudy?
What's the
30%?
Inspiration?
It is 99.9% cloudy. Right. Everybody grab your tissues real quick. I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be everybody else but me. Mm. So I was
wow.
like,
wow. Okay.
Yeah, like Disney Channel, right? You'd mm-hmm. see that Lizzie McGuire, all those shows, and you like, I wanted to be them, their life. So cool. And then, like, when I lived in Orlando,
it does seem pretty cool.
It's really cool. And then, yeah. everybody that was friends with in elementary, like, they, and I would go to their houses, it was like these big houses, like the granite countertop, the island and everything. They always had like their fridge stocked with like every snack they wanted, and I was like, I want this life.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that I hate my life sometimes, but everybody hate a little bit. But I didn't want the life that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
I was like
a better one.
Exactly. So I was like, if I could do acting, not only could it help me get that life, but I could be different people, live different.
Do
you know,
do you
stories.
Find that acting helps you out in the therapy of becoming more comfortable in your own skin?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
How do you think that helps you?
It's, for example, in real life, I hate confrontation. I hate it because I know as soon as I start speaking what I feel, yeah. I start crying. I'm a crybaby.
You're very emotional.
I am very emotional because I've never had a good way to express how I feel.
Yeah, so, to be fair, one mm-hmm. of the things that originally, me and Adley, I think when we first met, it was in that the casting thing.
Pandora.
Yes. Yes. We were, I wasn't casting for that. It was the one before you were in somebody else's and you were a reader for them. I remember this, but hold on. We're getting off track. I'm going to let you finish real fast and then I'm going to tell you how I met Adley.
Okay. I was thinking like, was it for Inez?
Yeah. So you were a reader. So back in the day, me and Adley were in film school. And I was studying, she was studying acting, I was studying filmmaking, and mm-hmm. one of my friends needed help in this casting process. So we're in the casting room, and Adley's the reader. And I only bring this up now because she's talking about emotions.
I like to read.
Adley's reading while people are coming in and auditioning. And Adley, I was like, who is this person? Because she can cry on command, but it's not just like, she's like, she's very emotional. So that's how I was like, gee, oh my gosh, who is this person? And she was like, oh my God. All right, cool. Next person. Yeah, okay. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Oh my God. Okay, cool. Thanks for coming in.
It's like the range on this.
Yeah, thing. I was like, who is this person? Who is this person? And then
I like to cry.
Yeah, and then I casted her in my very first short film, Red Band.
I just remember doing the stunt where we had to like, smash my head into
in the table. Yeah. Yeah, I was quite interesting.
Wait, hold on. You had to smash your head into a table?
That was the scene. Don't make it sound so bad.
DJ, why would you write this woman
I did get a headache.
Into a table?
It was for the scene, man. It was for the script.
Sounds very misogynistic.
It's not. First of all, in this script, she's the only one with powers, all right? Don't try to make it seem like
I
was like...
You, I didn't say anything. I just... called it like a song, okay? Adley's, how do you get so emotional and cry all the time? She was like, because I always want to cry.
That's my secret, Cap.
I'm always sad.
Especially when the director tells me that the stunt is my head going against the table. Which, by the way, was very safe. That's what it looks like.
So how many times did you have to get your head smashed in the table?
We only did that like a couple of times.
I lost count.
Yeah. Oh my God.
DJ,
I lost right. conscious too.
So you don't like women. Right. That's what you're saying.
Oh, dude. What is wrong with you, man? My mom listens to this.
Nah. I'm just trying to make it as worst as I possibly can.
Obviously.
I'm dead.
So you're a very emotional person.
Yeah.
And so you think that playing these other characters, does that... Well, something that... When I met Sir Ben Kingsley for the first time, actually, it was at Knife. Mm-hmm. One of the things that he said that was quite interesting about acting is that by playing other people, you get to know yourself more. Do you think that's true?
100%. It's like an extension of yourself. Mm-hmm. It's... I don't know where I heard this. I want to say maybe it was Zuko in Avatar saying that word is like an extension of yourself whenever he's like fighting, but
when
it's there.
When he's the blue ghost.
Yeah. And it's basically that every character that you play, it's some kind of version of yourself.
Do you feel that whenever you're playing a character, you can then look inside yourself and almost that character has a conversation with you?
Can you repeat that again in different words?
So, I guess what I'm saying is whenever you're the character, mm-hmm. can you then look through the character's eyes and think how you would act in this situation?
Yes. Yes.
Does that help you get more comfortable in your own skin as you go on and provide more characters life into themselves?
100%. I know it's very... Like, different acting teachers will tell you, like, how to approach certain scenarios, certain characters. Some of them always say, don't do what you would do and stuff like that, but you have to at least do what you would do at least once to see what not to do.
If this character was that version of you, mm-hmm. what would they do kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Also, what are the processes for you as an actress? So the general idea for some acting teachers might have is you have to leave a piece of you in every person that you play.
Disclaimer, Nicholas has way more acting experience than I do.
Oh.
So this is why he's pulling out the chops here.
Let me go back to my notes real quick.
Right, on page 32 of this book.
But what is it that you do to leave a piece of yourself that you discover the character, and then what do you do to leave a piece of yourself once you move on?
I'm not really sure. I try to be as present as I can and try not to do the scene as, oh, I should be upset here. I should be, like, not breathing here, hold my pauses and stuff like that. I try to, like, what happens? Mm-hmm. And just, for example, when we did Pandora. Mm.
We did Rip Padding. Yeah.
Rip Padding. I tried to be off book and then just feed off my co-star. Yeah, and just feel they're giving me, like, X. I'm not going to go all the way to back to A and mm-hmm. go raw.
Was it really interesting about... So she played the lead Pandora in Rip Padding. And she played across Anatoly Pincheko.
Anatoly.
Yeah, Anatoly. He's in. I think he's in Morocco right now because he was on.
He's doing great.
Yeah, and then also Adley was in This Is Us, but we're gonna talk about that in a second.
People forget.
What do you do when the person's? We were just talking about how you feed off the other person's energy, and that's how you make the scene more authentic. What do you do as an actress when you're not getting anything? There's nothing. The person's there and giving you the lines, but they're basically giving you nothing.
Nothing emotionally.
When they give me nothing, I try to, like, not force it, but it's weird. If we were to, like, visualize it as, like, a superpower, mm-hmm. I'm Violet from The Incredibles with the force field, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, if you're not doing anything, I try to, like, okay, let me try to drive the scene, but not so much where it's, like, exploding, but it's, like, getting you inside the force field with me.
And how do you go about doing that?
You gotta feel it out
in the moment.
Yeah.
You just gotta, how can I attack this? How can I help this person out? Because we gotta get through the scene.
So something that you really
don't get frustrated.
Yeah. Something that you're really good at is bringing out that emotional core.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who say a lot about, they call actor fatigue, right? Where it's like, oh, I've done the scene, or I've done one particular section of the script, we've shot it like 8-9 times. But that happens sometimes. How do you keep that actor's endurance? You know what I mean? Because especially in some scenes where they're very emotional, it's hard to just turn it on and off.
The type of person that I am is like, I'm very, like you just met me today, but you can get like that I'm very like bright and very like go-getter type.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get out of character. As soon as it's cut, maybe give 2 minutes back to this bright self. And then where it's like, all right, let's go. All right, let's go back to.
Do you think that takes more skill to do that hop in and out than to just be method the whole time?
I feel like it's more exhausting if it's just keeping it method and staying in that character.
Because I would think that it takes more skill to sit there and have a deep emotional scene and then come jump out, be all bright how you naturally are, and then have to go into it instead of just being stable.
Actually, when I was talking to, this actually reminds me, when I was talking to Sir Ben Kingsley, he said a lot about acting being arrows in a quiver, where you're acting is, when you're actually acting as a character, just pulling out the arrow, pulling it and stuff like that. But when you're done with the scene, you just let it go, and then it's no longer with you. Would you agree with that?
I do. Because if you keep holding on to it, even if it's like you wrapped and everything, and you're still dwelling on that, like that feeling, it's going to fuck you up.
How do you come out of that? Like, sometimes people watch videos to come out of it. Like, you have a deep, heavy emotional scene. Some people watch South Park or The Wiggles or, you know, something like that.
Oh, The Wiggles.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? That's what I always do. After a hard day of work, I turn on The Wiggles and Teletubbies.
Fruit salad. Yummy.
So you don't ruminate in that emotional.
I just start I love the Backyardigans. I start cracking jokes. The first thing that comes to mind as soon as I like, that was terrible. Yeah. And then just everybody starts laughing or something and it's cool. We're moving on.
Do you find yourself, what more roles are you usually attracted to? Is it more dramatic or comedic for you?
I feel like I've done definitely more dramatic. I would love to do more comedic, which is why I started doing like sketches to like tap into that.
Some of your internet sketches have gotten a lot of views.
I don't know how and why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I guess.
This is the curse of being talented.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, I'm the golden girl.
From success, oh my gosh. Isn't that?
God, give me my Vine Street Hollywood star now.
Right.
They have to pay for those, right?
I'll pay.
They
pay everything.
Now. They used to not have to pay for them.
Oh, they
really?
Used to not have to pay for
them?
Yeah,
and now they have to pay
now
for
now they have to pay $30,000 to get their star.
Only $30,000?
Yeah,
she said easy peasy. That one's crazy. Yeah. That kind of makes sense now because, I don't know, it started with Macaulay Culkin getting his star. And oddly enough, every other person started getting a star right after. And I'm like,
it was like a star.
Yeah,
right?
Willem Dafoe, Zac Efron, now Mark Ruffalo. And I'm like, deserve. But at the same time, now it makes sense. They got the money. They discovered. Oh, let's.
You know what's interesting? I hear that. I think that was also playing around the time in which they were trying to get more tourism in Los Angeles, which is wild because
it's Hollywood.
Yeah, it's literally Hollywood. What do you mean? You need
America's
more
biggest export.
But something about that area. So for those of you who are listening and who might not know about anything about Los Angeles, the street the Walk of Fame is on.
The greatest.
Yeah. I was there last night. It's stinky.
Yeah.
It's cleaner than Bourbon Street, I'll tell you that.
It's cleaner than Bourbon Street in New Orleans, which is. That's not really saying anything at all. Bourbon's pretty bad.
It's the same type of energy. Actually, no.
It's like a little piece of New York.
Yes.
It's like a little piece of New York in L.A., even though it's in front of the Chinese theater. You were in This Is Us.
Yes.
And that's really awesome because I remember being like, oh, my gosh, I know this person.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I always like seeing my friends win. What was that process like? Because you're playing the younger version of a character.
Yeah.
Right. So, and the reason why I bring this up is because you're basically having to be someone who, This Is Us is a very popular show. You're having to be someone who's an already established character and yet take that character and make it a new spin on it to be the younger version. What was that like?
When I got the audition, I knew of the show and whatnot, especially because the person that I was dating at the time worked on it as a PA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I knew a little bit more about like the actors and who they are and whatnot. And then I got the audition while I was just working my escape room job at the time.
Mm.
And I'm like, is this real? Is this hello?
Yeah.
So I see like, I'm like Googling like who the character might be because they gave me like the name, like Beatrice. And I was like trying to find it. And I'm like, I can't find anybody, so I asked him, and I was like, hey, is there this character, like, that you might know who it is?
So I can
try to find who it is so I can do my research. No, I don't know who that is and stuff like that. And I was like,
and he works on the show.
And I'm like, great. So it turns out this character hasn't been introduced yet. Mm. It was just the main character, like Miguel's mother. Mm-hmm. So I had to play the young version in a flashback in the 1950s or something like that. And I was like, cool. Like, I have to watch the whole show now to get... I only made it to like episode 4 before I did my audition.
Because sometimes those auditions, they don't give you a lot of time. They're like, hey, correct. You know what? We love you. We liked for you to come in for audition. You have 24 hours.
And I've auditioned for a lot of things before that audition. I haven't gotten anything, which is a big toll to pay. And which it sucks because it messes up your thought process. That's why
people lose so many jobs, because they're like, hey, so you know that thing you submitted for? Yeah, we need you to come in at 1 p.m. Okay, I have a job that I need to pay bills, and I can't come in now. And then you call up your boss, and it's like, hey, I get it. Yeah, you've already been scheduled, so I don't know what to tell you. Or you
try to trade shifts with someone. This way,
I call out. I will call out on the spot.
I have a lot of respect for actors, is that, okay, especially when you're coming up as an actor, you apply to so much stuff, you don't hear back from a lot of them. And then some of you do hear back, you're like, is this it or is this not it? And then when you do get something, it's like, it's about time. Like, it's pretty interesting. So when you're playing a younger version of a certain character, mm-hmm. do you really have to do anything to make you feel like, oh, okay, this is believable?
Not really. All I knew, I had to do it in Spanish, right?
I see.
So the main character Miguel, played by John Huertas, he's Puerto Rican. His character is Puerto Rican. Obviously, I'm Puerto Rican. Mm. Duh.
Yeah.
It fits. And it was like, we're back on the island in 1950s, and that's basically it. And my son, who's 7 years old, is him. And I was like, I don't really have that much to pull through. Yes, I can watch the show, but Miguel is just Miguel. Like, he's his own person.
Here to his mother.
Exactly. And I don't know who was going to play the older version, which she killed it, by the way. But I was like, okay, I got to speak Spanish. When I speak Spanish, my accent is mixed because I grew up speaking Puerto Rican Spanish, but then at the same time, English. And then when I moved to Spain, it's Castilian Spanish.
Yeah.
For 6 years there, everything is mumbled, jumbled. So it's great. So what do? After I go to Forever 21 and buy a $5 dress from the sales rack that fits the era,
yeah.
I blast Bad Bunny on my way to the self-tape.
Really? Yeah, Bad Bunny. All right.
I love Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
And so then I also try to talk to my mom. Whenever I talk to my mom on the phone, my accent comes out more.
She's Puerto Rican. More Puerto Rican?
Mm-hmm. And it's more casual, so it comes out better.
Is there a difference between the Spanish here and Puerto Rican Spanish?
Yes, because I feel like there's more of a Mexican population here, and there's very rare Puerto Ricans. Like, every time I find one, it's very like, you're Puerto Rican, oh my god, there's nobody else here but you. And it's like, yeah, okay, I love you, but
the accents are interesting. I personally, when I speak to my cousins from Cuba, they don't sound like they're speaking Spanish to me, but they don't sound like they're Mexican. Like when I'm here in Los Angeles, I'm used to like Mexican Spanish compared to,
and then Cuban and Dominican accent are both also like their own accents, but they're still like within the same pool,
just on the other side of the pool.
Mm-hmm. It's like you got the pool, and then you got the jacuzzi, and then you got the
however sauna. The reason why I say this, because Spain Spanish is like massively different. The accent is, they don't even say, we would be like azul, right? But they don't say azul, they say azul. Mm-hmm.
Azul.
Yeah, with the Z's. I remember when I first went to Spain, I was like, are you speaking Spanish? You have to be. This is Spain.
You have a lisp. Antonio Banderas. Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, it was crazy. Did you take a lot of inspiration from your mother then?
My grandmother.
Something? Oh, your grandmother.
I was like, Mom, send me pictures of grandma. And that's where I got like the inspo to get the dress, which is like, yes, it was like a mini dress, like above my knees, but you didn't see that in the self-tape. You saw it like from here up, like chest up. And it was very like turtlenecky, like long sleeve, floral, like a deep burgundy scarlet color. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this fits. And then I was like, let me go natural with the hair, like curly. And I did everything in Spanish. My reader, Jed, she's amazing. She did it in English. Because in the script, like in the sides, it was on one side English and then the other side translates to Spanish. Mm. So we did it, and we did
different. Was it awkward because you practiced it in Spanish probably, and then she's saying in English?
It wasn't, because I can like immediately like translate and like, hear, like it's not as hard to go about it.
Bilingual, you just, like, back and
yeah,
forth
and it's crazy because it's like whenever people ask me, so what's your first language, English or Spanish? I'm like, both at the same time. It's both and neither at the same time, because I grew up with both of them.
With the character that you were playing, what was the pre-life like for you, for the character that you came up with?
Very poor life. We come from scraps.
Pause. We have to tell the audience what pre-life is.
Oh.
Those of them who might not know, even though we do have some people listen, there's some people who listen to the show who want to get into the industry.
Okay.
So, Adley, could you explain to the audience what pre-life means?
Now that you actually want a definition, now I'm nervous. Because I was like, pre-life, oh, that means like the backstory?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, correct.
Hey!
10 points for me.
10 points, put them on
the board. Because as I'm sure you can tell, most of the time when you get a character, there is no backstory, so you have to come up with the backstory,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to come up with the backstory that happened right before the scene, so mm-hmm. that you don't go into it cold.
Most of it is already there, like, on the script. So in the dialogue, she's talking about how, oh, we can't move to the States because you did get fired from your job, but see if there's something else you can do, see if someone else can help you get a job or something. I don't want to leave the island, because the island is all we know, and I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all there. So we don't come from a lot of money. My husband got laid off work. We have a kid. I have a sister to support who is disabled. So it's all just there. And you just gotta... Here's the thing. The good thing, which is another reason why I booked it, is because it's my life, mm-hmm. in a way. Like, I come from Puerto Rico, right?
Check.
My older sister is disabled.
Check.
I had to take care of her, help my mother.
Check.
We didn't come for money, and we moved to the States to see if we can get jobs. And triple
check.
That's
like a 408 check.
When my manager at the time pitched me, he wrote that. He wrote my story, and they were like, all right, let's go for the audition. Didn't hear for a while. My manager, I sent him everything. He's like, hey, so when's the due date? And I was like, an hour ago. And he's like, oh my God, okay. And he sent it, and I was like, that's it. I'm not getting it at all.
It was an hour ago. Yeah, really.
Past the deadline. And then randomly, like a few days later, I'm like at work. Like a busy restaurant, nightlife, Friday night, mm-hmm. and we're about to like open. He's like calling me, and I'm like, oh, great, like we didn't make it. He's like, hey, what's up? Hey, you're on Avail. And I was like, wait, what?
That's crazy.
Didn't even get a call back or anything, because you're like, the way how I got taught is like, you do the audition, you get a call back,
right.
maybe do one more call back, Avail, you know, this went straight to Avail. And then I'm like, is this happening? And then my friends were like, you're on Avail. Doesn't mean like you got it. And I was like,
it just means you're on deck.
Exactly. And then I get the call like after doing a COVID test like the other day, because I started, oh, like looking at my car plate, like, and Don's gonna call me. And he's calling now. And he's gonna send me the good news.
And
it's gonna be. And then I'm like, I'm not getting it. They probably give it to somebody else. And then, hey, you got it. And I was like, what?
That's awesome.
Me?
Where were you at when you got it?
I was, not, I don't know if it was like near Glendale or something like that. I was getting a COVID test for print commercial booking that I did for Disney, like Disneyland. So I was like driving back from that. So I was like driving, and I was like, let's go.
Yeah, I always play, every time something really great that happens or I get the gig, I always play I'm a Boss.
Oh, I blasted Bad Bunny again.
I was like, I'm a boss. I'm like, yeah, I love this song.
Yeah.
Adley, it's been so great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you for
having
me.
Do you have anything that you want to shout out or where anyone can follow you?
You can follow me anywhere and everywhere.
What's your Instagram?
It's
your handle.
Adley_Bites, and that's A-D-L-I-H. Hilda backwards, which is my mom's name.
Oh, I had no idea.
Adley, not Adele or Adele or Ashley or Ellen. I've gotten Ellen on set once.
That's really unfortunate.
That person should be fired, probably. But it's been so great to have you here. And hey, guys, this is Film Center News. I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And we're here with
Adley Torres.
And we'll see you next time.
See you.
This has been Film Center on Comic-Con Radio. Check out our previous episodes at ComicConRadio.com. You can follow the show at Film Center News on all major social media platforms. Tune in next Wednesday for a fresh update. Until next time, this has been Film Center.